Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better, and everybody do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no plans of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio, Monday edition of 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Billy Williford, the gang's all here as we get your week started off right with Fox Sports Knoxville. It's the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. What a weekend. College football, the NFL, and of course, it was the third Saturday in October, late into Sunday. And we got lots and lots and lots to talk about. Alabama does get the win, 35-13 over your Tennessee Volunteers in... I'm not even sure how to describe this game. A very, very strange late night October matchup between Tennessee and Alabama.
Very late.
Extremely late. I don't know if that made it weirder at all. I was in church Sunday morning. Somebody in Sunday school was like,
You needed it.
She said, you guys stayed up for that? I just rolled over and checked the score and then went back to bed. And then I found out she's a daggum Bama fan. They're not even watching the games anymore, Kress.
With the light system they got, I didn't want to watch it either. It felt like I was watching a nuclear cartoon.
I mean, we thought Butch Jones might be in charge of that, and the way it went down removed all doubt. He definitely is point on the light system.
It was awful.
I was noticing, I can't remember if it was that game or if it was
It made the brights brighter and the whites whiter.
Oh. Wait.
The stain-fighting power of OxyClean. That's what it looked like.
But wait, there's more.
We'll double your offer.
I don't know if it was
Billy Mays today.
I don't know if it was Alabama-Tennessee or another game I was watching this weekend. But, I mean, all the way, I think it was. I think... right before the kickoff, I think it was the second half kickoff, everybody's lined up for the kickoff, and I noticed that while the lights are bright, like it's not that, you know, they're not dark like they were after, you know, in the breaks, you know, and flashing back and forth. I mean, the lights were bright, but they were pulsating, like a little brighter, darker, brighter, darker. Brighter, darker, brighter. And some song was playing on the PA.
Oh, they were getting everybody fired up.
Was it Dixieland Delight?
No, it was. And the play clock was counting down, and when it hit like 10, it finally, like right as the kicker started to make it, like start his jog up to boot the daggone ball, the lights finally like went consistent and the music stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
They're probably just tied together.
Yeah.
Mood lighting.
It's crazy.
But I did notice that if you had light skin, you had very light skin. And if you had dark skin, you have very, very dark skin. Okay. That's what I was saying by the brights brighter and the whites white. Like, if you were a poor Caucasian person on Saturday night, you looked like you needed to go to the spray tan like David did.
Get you a double dark.
Needed it.
Yeah.
Because, wow. It was not flattering light. Those LEDs, it's like crystal clear light. Like, I don't even know. It's weird. But everyone looked weird. And the field just almost, it glowed green.
Yeah.
Like the cameras, I got a feeling that the people at ESPN, they're not going to be very happy. They're probably going to tell Bama, take these damn lights down.
Everybody's doing it. They're doing Lambeau Field. Well, that's the first place I noticed it.
Then they got to adjust something at Bama because those, I mean, I couldn't even look at the screen. It legitimately hurt my eyes to look at the screen. It was just so...
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, it was bad. Hurt my eyes. I got sensitive eyes. This is tough. That was the start to the game. That was your lead. It was bad. It was a bad start. Bad start to the game. I was like, oh, I can't even look at these guys. What am I seeing? It was bad. Threw us off our game, I think.
Yeah, that's why we got down 7-0. We'll just start at the beginning. We got down 7-0. Lights were a problem.
The lights were too bright. They were in our eyes. Yeah. Can't deal with the bright lights. Get off the stage. Well, we tried to stay on the stage, but the lights were still just too bright.
Just too bright. Okay, I'm with you. And then your boy happened. Nigel Warrior. Right place, right time.
Warrior.
Who is... What was Tua thinking? Was that not the worst throw of his entire career right
They're
there?
They're lucky he went out because he was off to a bad start.
Tua, 11 of 12.
And a pick. No touchdowns. He was going to drive him up and down the field between the 20s and then just throw picks to Warrior. Maybe the MVP of the game. I don't know. Have to go back and double check.
He was throwing to his tight end, who was double covered and was going to the back of the
end
zone.
That's what I'm saying. It's good. Lucky for them, he got hurt.
That was something.
I looked at Houston. I was like, that was not even a Tua throw. I mean, that was terrible.
It was.
Looked like JG was out there.
He didn't throw a pick.
Well, I mean,
we'll get there.
He threw it right to him like in Florida.
He did some bad throw.
That was something.
I was just sitting there like, poor Nigel. I know.
I mean.
I know what you're going to say. When he broke free of everyone, I was like, holy cow. Is he going to go the distance? And then was it another tight end that hawked him?
No, it was Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah,
it was Jeudy.
Yeah,
it was, okay.
He's like the fastest guy in the nation.
I think Ruggs is faster, but Jeudy is still lightning.
I mean, it looked like he was a lineman.
Yeah, that was...
Poor Nigel.
That was kind of like this is why we...
this is why we need help.
Yeah,
it was...
We are slow. Our... Free safety is getting hawked.
I mean,
like, I'm surprised he got back to the other side, like past midfield.
No, he's not that slow.
I'm not going at Nigel. I'm just looking at Jerry Jeudy specifically.
Well, he had to run from a farther, like a way farther distance, probably. He's like at least in the back of the end zone. So he had like a 15-yard head start, did Warrior.
The speed difference. It wasn't that Nigel wasn't as fast.
Well, hey, he had to kind of bob and weave there for a second.
Right,
that slows
right.
you down on the straight line.
And in his defense, he didn't have much room to maneuver, you know. He was tight to the field.
What are you talking about?
No. He was tight on the
sideline.
Yeah.
It's just some random knowledge, but at one day a baby caribou's faster than an Olympic sprinter. One day old. Yeah.
Thank you.
Man.
Just dropping knowledge, man.
That's ever on your trivia. Yeah. Who's faster in Olympics? Oops. Usain Bolt or 1 year?
Garrett Miller says it was Ruggs that ran him down.
No, Ruggs is fast.
Ruggs is freaking fast. And then said Waddle was basically smiling, running beside him. Waddle also fast. They're so fast. They're so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me sick. So yeah, then we're there we go, then drive boom
yeah
boom,
oh
boom,
yeah
boom boom boom, and then the best QB sneak I've ever seen.
I mean Brian Maurer,
was 5 of 7 for the game, 62 yards.
He really was off to a good start. The pick wasn't his fault either. Jawan, catch the ball, man.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Mm-hmm.
Jawan, he tried to double. It was a perfect throw. I don't know why he had to double catch it, and then he bats it in the air, pick. Silly.
Yeah, the announcers are like, you got hit, and he's like, he dropped that ball before he got hit. Like, he muffed it, essentially, without getting touched. But yeah, it was a 6-play, 41-yard drive. Took 3:12 off the clock for Tennessee to tie it up. 7-7 after the interception. Capped off, as you mentioned, by a just fantastic quarterback sneak by Brian Maurer, where none of your offensive linemen pulled.
No, they ran
file that away for later.
They ran the sneak block.
Right.
Yeah. And he
Even go over the top.
To his credit, pushing. He got the snap and then read, oh, I'm going behind Trey. Yeah, I'm going to go left behind Trey.
You'd think you'd go behind Trey on quarterback sneaks. That would be a smart way to do it.
Yeah, man. That makes a lot of sense. It was a great play. Good job, Jim Chaney. Good job, Brian Maurer, using the quick little feet to get left, plow ahead, touchdown. Feeling good at that point, you know.
Yeah, Alabama goes right back down the field, scores a touchdown to make it 14-7. But Tennessee wasn't done. 11 plays, 55 yards.
We're not done. Is that? Are you done? Is that? You're gonna stop there?
No, I was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, gets the field goal. It's 14-10.
Oh, okay, there we go. There it is. Okay, just wondering where you were.
Yeah.
Just waiting.
That was the I was trying to remember. That was the false start penalty. Darnell at the first and goal at the 5. Then we had the holding on second and goal at the 10 on Kayron Calvert. And
was this the drive, right? Where we go trick play?
I'm trying to remember if this Jarrett Garantano incompletion to Juwan Jennings on 3rd and goal from the 20. Was that the double move that he missed him on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The play that we kind of made fun of a few weeks ago, maybe months ago.
Yeah.
Because, oh, man, we're never going to have time to run that play. Why would we even do this? And then we run it against Alabama and have all day.
Had time. It was amazing.
Well, we got a backup. Brian Maurer gets hit.
Yeah. It's back up to there.
Late. High, and they wipe the flag off.
Well, they never. The problem was the head ref didn't call it a roughing the passer penalty. He only called targeting. He should have called roughing the passer and targeting.
How can you not? How is it not both?
I don't know. They call it both all the time. All the time, I've seen guys
that makes no sense
say
to me.
Roughing the passer with targeting,
yeah,
15-yard penalty, targeting is under review.
We're protecting quarterbacks, they say.
Mm-hmm.
My man throws the ball, is off of his feet, basically, because he kind of has to jump to throw it. And they hit him, again, high, so he has no base because he's kind of jumped to throw it, so he basically just topples over right into the back of Darnell Wright, his knee. So head to leg. Brian Maurer to the tent.
Yeah, apparently he looked right over at the sideline immediately. It was like, come get me.
Shh, quiet.
Come get me. Like, this is.
Well, he stayed down for a while.
Hit my head.
And he was grabbing, it looked like he was grabbing his neck. And then he goes to the tent, and then out he comes. And then he and Jeremy Pruitt had a very odd exchange.
I don't remember what that one looked like.
Pruitt's like, it looked like Pruitt was kind of reprimanding him, like kind of upset, and Maurer looked disappointed. And it looked like Pruitt was basically saying, nope, no, you're not going back in. Get to the locker room. Go now. And Maurer just kind of hung his head like, oh, but I wanted to play more. So it was just weird. And enter last week's savior, Jarrett Garantano. You know, for a second there, I thought Pruitt was going to be right twice. Jarrett's going to help us win a game this year.
Or two and beat Alabama.
Yeah.
You thought that was going to happen?
But you actually got your hopes up?
Wasn't Tua out at that point? Once Tua went out, I had a little hope. Yeah. Are you kidding me? The guy's a freak. They were without their best player.
I can't remember when Tua went out.
I can't either. But what? Yeah. Yeah, I had a little hope. What can I say? Thought maybe, you know, some good things would happen. They kind of did.
They were terrible once Tua went out on offense.
They were awful. Yeah.
Mac Jones looked like a damn walk-on.
Yeah, he was not good, but I guess you got to give him some credit. They just started feeding Najee Harris.
Running football.
And it made a lot of sense.
I would have loved to have seen it, though, to, you know, to be a one-score game and where Tennessee knows they don't trust their quarterback to throw. It would have been a nice turn of events, so to speak, to see the other team have to worry about, do we let our guy throw it or not?
Yeah, but we couldn't stop the run.
But no.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had first and goal at the 5, and he got – I mean, he actually got them to call a pass interference on Alabama. I'd forgotten that.
Well,
that's what got you down
I've
there.
Got penalty issues that we probably need to get to at
yeah,
some point.
That's
we got
a
lot
a
of
big...
like things that kind of carry over the whole game.
Right.
We don't need to do a game breakdown. Tennessee loses 35-13 to Alabama. I do have one quick one, a grievance.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Jordan ran very well. 17 carries, 94 yards. That's 5.5 a carry.
Yeah.
Long of 33. Ty Chandler. 4 carries.
Mm-hmm.
23 yards. 5.8 a carry, in fairness. His long was 25, and he finished with 23, so he had a 25-yarder. The others were backwards.
Yeah.
But 4 carries?
I don't,
is Tim Jordan the guy now? Certainly seems like it the last 2 weeks. He's run well. He's run hard. Probably would have had more yardage if what was that? I think he had 97 at one point and then kind of started going backwards. But can I get Ty Chandler some touches? He also had 2 catches for 9 yards. 6 touches for Ty Chandler. Maybe the fastest guy on the team. I don't understand.
I don't get it.
He was your starting running back at the beginning of the year. It's my only issue. That's it.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, until we get to, you know.
Yeah, the rest of it.
Yeah, that guy. Him.
I can't believe we made fun of them for practicing a play.
And then they had it wide open.
And then
against Alabama.
And even with Garantano in the game, they had it wide open. Because that's what we're like, yeah, he'll hold the ball way too long on this one. They'll get killed, especially against Alabama in that pass rush.
Yeah.
And it was there. Not to mention, it was 3rd and goal from the 20. You're not going to score on that play ever. I mean, there was an NFL commentator joking about how, yeah, it's they got pushed back. It's 3rd and goal from the 15.
It was smart. Gave us more space.
You're not even trying to score really here. You know, you just see, you throw it around the 5,
I
see
wish,
if your guy
I
can break a tackle.
I wish they had shown Chaney on that one.
Oh.
They showed him a couple times. He was not happy.
Not, yeah.
And then I would have loved to have seen him when Jarrett has a wide open Juwan Jennings running for the end zone and overshoots him. Would have loved to have seen what Chaney said.
If the Brian Maurer play just doesn't even happen, if Tennessee hands the ball off on that play and the rest of the game is the same.
Don't do it.
Like, what do you put the odds at? Like, it's, what is it, 14-10 at that point?
Yeah.
14-10. And Maurer's
at that point.
Maurer plays the whole game.
And Tua still goes out.
And Tua goes out, same point.
50-50. Maybe better, but I'm stopping at 50-50.
Yeah.
Because you were damn close with Jarrett. Until we'll get to that.
Well, yeah.
We'll get to that.
I don't know how close you really were. I mean,
you were knocking on the door.
You're down 15.
About to be 7 or 8.
Yeah, about to be 8.
A little onside kick, 7 minutes to go.
No, you don't onside kick it. You had all your timeouts.
Well, we also shouldn't
I think you had 2, actually.
In fairness, though, we shouldn't have been down that many because we had forced 3 and out and then got a PI call for standing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, if Maurer's still playing, I don't know that the officials might have just taken over the game even more. Might have been worse.
That's true. They're like, oh God, penalty. The false start.
We'll get to those storylines.
I was going
to
say, if Maurer's in the game, it takes away my theory of calling a timeout. He's just going to run the right play.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Then you'd have those timeouts for later.
He's going to hit Juwan on the walk-in touchdown.
Yeah.
Hit
sneak it
wheel
in for
route
another touchdown
earlier on third down.
at that point, then
make the correct decisions on the RPOs. I had no idea. Oh, well, I won't say no idea. I didn't think it was possible that we had been too easy on Jarrett Garantano.
I didn't either.
And I'm not even talking about running the wrong play. I'm talking about the stuff before that. I had no idea. We'll get into that next. We know we got to talk about the fumble heard around the Tennessee world and all that.
Laces out.
Jeez. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. It looks like the Flash at those baseball games.
Ruggs and Judy just... And down the stretch they come.
I got to give Nigel Warrior. I got to give Nigel Warrior a lot of credit.
Thank you
for just sticking it out, hanging tough.
MVP candidate.
You know, just not backing down. Just goes out there and keeps playing, even with all the criticism, all the hate.
Weapon out and belly in. You know what I mean?
You know when he threw that interception, that stat I gave that every time Tua or Bama's thrown an interception the past 2 years. The Tide's only scored over 30 one time. I was like, oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
Okay.
Oh, we had them.
This is their lowest scoring output of the season.
Great defensive
effort. Was 42 points in their season opener against Duke. This is also the, when it comes to margin of victory, tied for the second closest margin of victory against Alabama in the regular season for the last two seasons. They had 19 against A&M this year, and they had 22 against A&M last year.
I don't want to hear the moral victory crap.
It's just stats.
What's wrong with you? Yeah, how's that moral victory crap? He's just giving stats.
Nah.
Why did I get the? What did I do?
Your point was too good, so we had to slow you down.
I am wearing orange.
Some Alabama officiating here.
It's a flag.
That was a good point. He was just saying stats.
Dave just threw a flag on me.
Yep.
Well, we're gonna see how Davey officiates the rest of the show. That'll be the trick. Oh, back it in, please.
That's a pretty good catch.
That's a good throw. Good catch.
Mm-hmm.
Mauer to anyone, really.
He had a good game
going. Okay, where do we want to – where should we start?
Well, we talked – let's talk officiating first. Because I don't know – I don't think – I don't have a lot of black and white takes today. It's a lot of gray. Which I think is good. It's fine. Obviously, it feels better than if you just gotten blasted 50 to nothing. They did a lot of good things. They really did. Like it, you know?
Some good, some bad.
So, I don't think that if this game had been officiated fairly, or maybe I should just say differently, I don't think... I've already thrown out the hypothetical. If Mauer plays the whole game and Tua still goes out, with Mauer going out and Tua going out, I don't think that the officials change the final outcome of the game.
Okay.
I do believe Alabama would have just kind of bunkered in, run the football, got out of there, maybe with a single possession win. I don't know. It's the way it felt to me. But I do feel like... that we, the fans, and hell, even the Alabama fans, were robbed of the drama and entertainment that we pay for with our time watching it on television, with our dollars being in the stadium, our donations to these programs, because what I can only assume is SEC bias. Hey, guys, you let South Carolina beat Georgia last week. What the hell are you doing? Don't you remember the memo at the beginning of the season?
I thought you wanted us to ref the game fairly.
No, we need as many teams in the playoff as possible. South Carolina's not getting there. God. Georgia. Alabama. LSU.
We definitely can't get in now with a loss to South Carolina.
Keep these teams upright. Juwan Jennings, left side. Oh, God, he's going to score.
Tim Jordan, hold. But we're not going to call it on him. We're going to call it on someone else.
Way to pay attention, Davey. That'd have been a great time for the flag.
No, that's not how this works, man. I throw it when I want. It doesn't matter what the rules of the game are.
Fair enough. That's the way it felt.
What I want you guys to think of the biggest officiating error that you saw for Tennessee versus Alabama on Saturday night. And we'll discuss. I have a feeling this is one of those topics we could probably spend an entire 3 hours on.
Well, we already mentioned the hit on Maurer.
No call.
They called targeting, which it wasn't targeting, but it was unnecessary roughness, in my opinion.
They did get Batuli for targeting.
I said this during the break, I'll say it on the air. I feel like if they had let the guys play all night and thrown very few flags, I wouldn't feel that bad about them not throwing a flag on the Alabama player that shoved Maurer. I mean, it's kind of just tough luck for Tennessee that there were players back there and he hit his head. I mean, if he just goes down the grass on his back and pops back up, I mean, nobody really even notices that play.
I know we're doing a lot of hypotheticals right now, but the biggest flag that was thrown that made me frustrated was when Daryl Taylor got the pushing Mac Jones down.
That's what I'm talking about. You compare that play with the Maurer play, and it's laughable.
Yeah, we were talking about it during the break. Like, one could potentially injure a quarterback, the other absolutely never in a million years would, and which one got called?
Listen, did I notice that Daryl Taylor stayed on him a little longer and then kind of shoved him a little bit as he got up?
You know, I'll be honest, I don't think he shoved him. I don't think he did either.
I think
Brown was in push-up position, and then as Taylor's getting up, he just gives and goes to the ground.
For
I don't
some
think
reason,
it was Taylor
though,
that pushed him. I think he just gave his arms out.
Live, I thought it looked worse than the replay. Like,
agree.
Live, I was like, oh, God, did he,
well, that's
did he push
I was like,
him?
I was like, get off of him. Just get off of him. Get, why are you lingering? But they were both just kind of watching the ball, like what's going to happen. It was third down. We just forced what would have been a 3-and-out.
And you just have to make sure when you're the official that there's malice there before you throw
that
flag.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There wasn't intent. There was certainly
Keep
no
yourself an extra
thing.
Half second to be like, wait, was that really me? Was that really unnecessary roughness? I mean, think about the definition of those two words
together. And there was a lot of people showing some clips from last year's SEC championship game when there was a sack on Fromm. And the Bama guy, I mean, it looks like he kind of throws a punch as he shoves him to the ground after the whistle.
Hits him in the back of
and
the head.
And the ref's just looking at it like, nah, nothing to see here.
That's because it's a big game, and they're holding big games
and
to get out of the way.
Daryl Taylor just kind of lingers a little bit. They're both watching the ball, and he goes to get up, just puts two hands on the back. The guy gives his arms out, not because there was a lot of weight or being shoved. He just kind of, all right, I'm going to go down now. And bad flag. Would have forced a 3-and-out instead. Bama goes down, scores touchdown.
That wasn't the worst one, though, Davey. Neither one of those were. To me, it was the holding call that they called on Wanya Morris, which was completely
wrong.
If you watch the replay of that play, Wanya blocks off the line, then he disengages and just kind of trails the play towards the end zone. Juwan Jennings takes the Wildcat snap. They marked him out of bounds, but he absolutely scored a 100% touchdown.
100% scored.
And the
Did
referee,
you see Tim Jordan? Did you think that was what it was?
I do think that they called the hold on Tim Jordan. Here's what happened if you watch the replay. Juwan takes the snap. He's running around the left side. Jordan is blocking his guy as he tries to make the tackle. And Juwan kind of breaks that tackle as Jordan's still blocking him. In my opinion, it's not even holding. But I see the referee looking back, see that, throw the flag. Then watch as Juwan gets into the end zone. He incorrectly marks him at the one, but doesn't care because he knows he's bringing it back.
Yeah.
You see him immediately run towards the head official. And if you watch the replay, Wanya,
I got one. I got one, Todd. I got one.
As Wanya's blocked his guy and then trails the play towards the pylon, when the official throws the flag and then looks back at Juwan and then looks back, he's like, oh, crap, I don't remember the number. And he looks back, and Wanya is the guy closest to him.
Because he was hustling.
And he just assumes. He's just like, oh, it must have been 64. And that's why they got the call wrong. If that doesn't prove that they suck at their job, I don't know what does. He basically is admitting that his brain didn't see it very well because he doesn't know who it's on. Especially when you at least know, God, it was a single digit, not a double digit. If you saw that really well, I would say so.
Speaking of Juwan taking the snap, did we ever get a reasoning behind the refs just blowing the play dead as we kind of are in a hurry up?
That was going to be my most egregious non-flag referee mistake. Tennessee lines up. What was that, third down, first down?
I don't remember.
Does a little shift. JG rotates out to the wide receiver spot. Juwan Jennings getting ready to take the snap. And out of absolute nowhere, the line official rushes in, blows the whistle. All the other refs are kind of looking at him like, what? They have a little powwow. Jeremy Pruitt, they put the camera right on Pruitt because he's as confused as we all are. Like, thinking, is there going to be, you know, 12 men in the huddle, or I don't know. It couldn't have been an illegal shift.
It was first and goal at the five. It's the play I talked about earlier. It was first and goal at the five after the pass interference. And they rush up to the line, and boom, false start.
We go trick
well,
on
them. They stop it. Yeah. And we start trying to run the play, and Darnell jumps on the false start.
That. So the guy just stopped the play because we were trying to trick Alabama? I really have no idea why they would have blown the flag there. Or blown it dead.
They reset the play clock.
Yeah, because he had come in and stopped the play, but yeah, they gave the. But what are you doing?
I'm watching it right now. That makes no sense. The play clock's running.
Yeah, there's plenty of time on the play clock.
Did it start at 25? Because when Garantano checked out to go outside to the receiver spot, there was like 15 seconds left.
13, yeah.
It's plenty.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
And then it felt as if, oh, Tennessee caught Alabama off guard. Let's stop the play and make sure Alabama has time to get their signal in. That's just what it felt. That's what that feels like to me. You had no reason to stop the play. They do their powwow. They run back. They reset the play clock. And Jeremy Pruitt loses his mind. Screaming. And from that point on, we saw Jeremy Pruitt become a Tennessee Volunteer. Officially. Now that he was on this side of that junk, he gets it. Screaming at the official. I mean, I don't understand how, like, why would you blow that play dead if you have no reason to? Like, what was he even thinking could have been the reason to blow it dead there?
I don't know. In fact, I'm rewatching it. It wasn't a play clock issue. I mean, the guy's just resetting the play clock because they screwed it up. I mean, they called pass interference. It went down first and goal on the five. And the play clock started at 25. It was running, as Billy mentioned. You know, Garantano flexes out, and then they just blow it dead. Garantano.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
One in stripes, who officiates, says absolutely no reason for the stop on that play.
My guess is that they were afraid they had misspotted the ball. And it's the only thing I can think of, because the linesman runs in, and then he asked the back judge something else, and I don't even know what they're talking about.
It's just coincidence then, I guess, right? We decide to run a trick play of a what is it? What?
I didn't like where you're going with that. It's a coincidence?
Hmm. Yeah. That's what the SEC would say.
It's a flag.
That's ridiculous.
Hmm. You have to accept it. That's how this works.
I decline the penalty.
You don't get that option.
I decline.
The penalty's on you. You don't have the say.
Then I've declined.
That's a good
it.
Point by David.
No, I've declined it.
You can't decline a penalty on yourself.
Yeah, watch me. Declined. So is that? But is that what the SEC is saying? Oh, coincidence. Yeah.
Well,
the only time
thing.
We're going to blow the whistle before the play starts and not call a flag. Because to Davey's point, they were throwing them.
Oh, yeah.
And then just, no, Tennessee's going to trick Alabama, and Alabama's not ready. Let's. Did we get the spot of the ball right? Is the time on the clock right? Is the lights good? Okay. Oh, yeah, everything's fine. That's
like, what's
he
even
good
asking
play.
About?
Well, and Garantano was the only player in motion, too. Maybe I thought maybe he saw, like, an illegal motion.
You can move multiple people as long as they're set, and we were set for, a second and a half.
No, he runs in. He stops the clock and runs immediately to the head ref about something. And it's this young guy with his pink, really awkwardly light pig pink lips. I don't know what the problem with it. Maybe
have
it's
you,
the LED
have you
lights.
Seen? Have you seen the stuff on this guy?
No.
That he's from Birmingham and that
Seriously?
He's an Alabama fan? Like, we might have another Anthony Jordan case on our hands.
Is this the same guy that called the
yes,
holding?
Yes, same guy.
Anthony Jordan, for those who don't know, was the LSU, or the
it
referee
the
for the Tennessee
guy?
LSU
yeah. I heard
basketball
somebody say that,
season.
But I thought it was a different guy. That
no,
called
it's
the same,
because they running to that side, and he threw the flag.
I'll check that in a minute.
He was the side official when they got on that side in the red zone. Apparently his name's Ryan something.
Well, I didn't know the
Bammer.
I think it was it might have been the head ref. There's a head ref in the SEC that played quarterback for Alabama. Did you know that?
Sure. Makes sense.
I don't think he can do Alabama games, I wouldn't think.
This guy can. Good grief.
I mean, it was laughable. You compare this game with the Florida-South Carolina game, which I'm sure we'll get into, you know, at least by tomorrow. Like, just they're killing their own product. Like I said, this game should have been, like, the nightcap, like, drama-filled, crazy, oh my gosh, Alabama. Like, they can't even manufacture the drama right. We say on this show, it's not a take, it's just real life.
Yeah.
Like, we just do the show legit. When we draw these helmets, we just, the way it happens, it happens. If we wrote a script, it would be worse, right? Like, that's the great thing about sports. Like, it's real life. It's supposed to, you don't know what's going to happen. And by the officials inserting themselves into the story so much in this game, they robbed us of Kentucky having to punt the ball to Tennessee only up 5 with 3 minutes to go. Like, they robbed us of that moment. They robbed us of Jarrett Garantano maybe having a chance to beat Alabama. Think about that.
We kind of already, well, he did still. We'll get to that in later.
But have a better chance.
What do you mean Kentucky punting to Tennessee? What? What'd you say? What,
Alabama punting to Tennessee.
You said Kentucky.
Did I really?
Yeah, it was weird. I was like, is he thinking of a different game?
No, I didn't hear it.
Listen to the show.
Thanks Alabama.
For the flag back.
I don't even know where Kentucky came from.
I don't know
sense.
Either.
If I'd have said Florida, to me. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
Alabama.
That's why
punting,
I asked you. I was like, am
Alabama
I missing something?
Punting to Tennessee, you know? Like, yeah. Only up. I mean, hell. We got that in the Wisconsin-Illinois game. Could have happened.
Woof.
Tua goes down. Could have happened. But no. No, no, no. Nothing to see here in the old SEC. Got to keep the status quo. Got to throw penalties on guys who we're not even sure who committed the foul. But it was definitely a hold.
And then they totally basketball refed late by calling some penalties on Alabama that didn't matter to even them up.
Yeah.
Just so when you look at the box score, it's like, oh, the yardage was the same.
Yeah.
Time and place, man.
We'll come back. Final segment, hour number one. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Monday edition of the program is brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Final segment, hour number one. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com.
I got my boat loan there.
Houston got his boat loan there.
And a credit card.
Helping their members grow financially. Moving upward and forward. Up to the top of the leaderboard.
Thanks, Nate.
Uh-huh. Great weekend on the lake.
First place and Lunker.
Crankbait Chris getting a dub.
Didn't catch him on a crankbait.
That's just your name.
Topwater. And it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
5-2. It's a big one. A big one.
All right.
I take 5 of those every tournament the rest of my life and be very happy. Anyway, sorry. We'll get to that later. Hour 3 with the efficient segment.
I don't know. The problem with the SEC is I don't know that they even give their coaches explanations on this stuff. Like, I don't know if they'll even come out and say, like, I would say in a perfect world, if I was running a league that was as high profile as the SEC, I would allow my coaches to, I know they can send in film and say, hey, you guys missed this, 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 this. But really, you don't get anything out of that except maybe the makeup call later, maybe. But I would allow my coaches to send in questions basically to the league officiating office and say, hey, why the hell did you blow this play dead? When we shift, I never got an explanation during the game. And at least get the new young guy who's a big Alabama fan.
Allegedly.
Decided he would just blow that dead and check on some rinky-dink something because, you know.
I just want some accountability.
You're not going
to
get it.
Everyone has to answer questions in a press conference when things go wrong. CEOs, coaches, players, commissioners, everybody, except officials, people who don't play in the game, but absolutely, contrary to stupid belief, have an impact on the outcome and can have a significant impact. They never, ever have to answer questions. Never once do they have to say, here's why I blew this whistle. Here's what I saw. Here's what I missed. I just don't understand how they never have to say, yeah, I messed up, or here's what I saw, ever. They just they just have immunity.
Mm-hmm.
They can do whatever they want, and nothing happens. Unless it's so bad and goes against the wishes of the conference, and then they serve like a one-game suspension or something. I just don't get it. They should have to answer questions after the game, just like everyone else. But instead, they hop into a van, they get a police escort back to the hotel, and that's that. That's it. It blows my mind. And the SEC will say, well, they're not full-time employees. Well, make them full-time. This is kind of a big deal. You've had officiating issues for a long time. And look, I realize it's an imperfect world. I get it. Like, they're not going to get every call right. I just want them to explain when they get one wrong why.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll understand if you say, I was blocked, I saw this, and then that meant never. But they don't want to do that. Like, it lends itself to people creating scenarios that may or may not exist, in which, to your point, was this a fixed game? Was this a, hey, we can't have Alabama lose because Georgia lost last week. We've got to make sure we get teams. Okay, well, like, I need these guys to talk. And if they tell on themselves, they tell on themselves. And if they have a good point as to why they threw this flag or that flag, I want to hear it. But it means too much to too many people. There's too much at stake for there just to be this rogue cast of six or seven guys who can impact the game and then just walk away.
It's a different guy that threw the penalty.
It was?
Yeah.
They were buddies, though.
I guess they flip sides, actually, because it seemed like the same positioning. But second half, third quarter. Now I'm with you. I mean, hell, one of the worst calls ever in the history of sports was the first base umpire that blew the perfect game for the pitcher. And I think he, like, called his own press conference later and, like, boo-hooed, you know, and just.
He cried.
I mean, it killed him that he had cost the pitcher, you know,
no-hitter.
Legendary status. Perfect game. A perfect game.
That's right. It was a perfect game. You're right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess somebody could fake that, but I'd love to see him try. I mean, you could tell it tore that guy up. But that's the problem. And for people that are like, ah, you conspiracy theorists, that never happened. The NBA proved it. The NBA was doing it. The NBA had a guy that made millions of dollars fixing his own games.
Millions. Millions of dollars.
And they've still scuttled that story. I mean, like, it came out, it happened, it's true. We know it's true. But people don't even remember it. Flag on the play.
Are you going to say what it is or just, no, doesn't matter?
We can't talk about that stuff. It hurts the product.
No accountability.
Oh.
The other refs, I know.
I was reminded, just flipping through the replay of the game here, that Alabama actually had Tua for most of the second quarter. Brian Maurer went out at the end of the first quarter. I mean, really, Tennessee's in this football game without, for example, if they don't call this phantom holding, it's going to be 21-17 with Mac Jones having gone three and out like the previous possession, or two possessions maybe.
That's why the Darrell Taylor penalty felt, right?
Because wasn't it 21-13? I think Tennessee's about to kick a field goal here, right? 21-13, and then they go three and out, but they call the penalty on him,
mm-hmm.
which allows them to keep going down the field.
Mm-hmm. Three and out, I think it was third and 15, because it was all incompletes and a penalty, I think. And then it was like they were just looking for any possible reason to help Alabama extend the drive. That's why I think that got called. They are hoping that Tennessee would do something that could just allow them to throw the flag. And Darrell Taylor gets up. 15.
There was a game I was watching where it ended up being like second and 20, and a team committed like another holding penalty. So it's going to be like third, it's going to be second and 30, I guess. And I was like, I would almost take third. I mean, your expected yards per play are less than 10, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually better math to have second and 30 than third and 20. But I was like, yeah, with 3rd and 20, there's only one chance for somebody to hold a receiver and get the automatic first. Like, your biggest chance of not getting off the field on 3rd and 20, I feel like, is penalty. Like, there's more chance of you getting called for a penalty than them gaining 21 or more yards, I feel like, on one play.
Yeah, without two in the game.
So,
yeah.
Sure enough, in this other game I was watching, it was a couple weeks ago, they took the 2nd and 30, and I think they gained like 8 yards on the next play, and then there was a penalty on 3rd down, and they got the 1st down. I was like, see? Like, it's ridiculous. It's an epidemic. These officials, they just gotta get their TV time. Although in this case, it seemed more egregious, seemed more biased, seemed more like pro-Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, I do think a lot of these games get messed up because these officials just want to make a call. So they look for any little thing on any team. But in this one, it was one-way traffic. I mean, absolutely.
Until they were, like I said, trying to even it up at the end, make it not look so bad. Yeah. Or when you had, like, egregious pass interference when the game was out of reach. Like the... I don't remember if it was – it would have been 3rd quarter. You got Juwan in the end zone, and the guy's draped all over him. Gary Tanner actually throws a catchable ball, and as Juwan's jumping to catch it, the guy has his arm around his waist, and the other arm is holding down Juwan's hand. No flag. What? How? After – like, it was way worse than the one they called on Warrior on their first touchdown. Infinitely worse than that one. No flag in the end zone. Touchdown ball. Sure. It's fine.